everybody. Welcome to Beyond the Beats. It's great to have you guys with us. Man, am I excited to bring you this episode 4. My name is Alec Prieto.
And my name is Samir Singhal.
Well, I tell you what, big announcement. We just had an interview with Birdie. Now, you probably haven't heard of him, but that's the whole freaking point, that you haven't heard of him. So we're launching this new feature, this new bonus episode type of deal here, where we call it the Artist Spotlight. And, you know, it's probably going to be once a month. We'll see how it goes, but we're going to provide an in-depth, insightful look into some of the more underground producers. So this will act as a standalone, around 20 to 30 minute episode, where you'll get to hear from the people trying to make it and fight their way up to the top. And I'll tell you what, this was a great interview, not a better guy to start with. Birdie, he's a great guy. Take a look at it. It will be released at the same time as this podcast. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how that thing goes.
Me too, dude. Yeah, I'm really happy that we started off with Birdie. You know, he's a good friend of ours. And not only that, you know, Alec had said this in the interview as well. Or maybe he didn't. I think he said this when we were offline after the interview. But we would not have had him on the show if we didn't think that he was quality. You know, there are a lot of aspiring producers out there. We think Birdie has a ton of talent. You know, he dabbles in old school kind of dubstep, you know, some lo-fi trap, and he's really into house music as well. So the man really tries to get his feet, his hands dirty in everything. And, you know, every single release that he puts out, they just keep getting better and better. So very, very excited that we got a chance to have him here on Beyond the Beats. And we hope that you guys enjoyed our first artist spotlight. And it's definitely something that we can't wait to keep going on and on with. And yeah, thank you guys so much again for supporting the show. You know, on our Instagram page, I had posted on our Instagram story. And if you're not following us yet on Instagram, it's at btb.pod. But I'm happy to announce that we officially have listeners in every continent in the world except for Antarctica. We're still trying to break into that market. But it's just
tough
amazing.
Market, man.
And
tough
I'm
market.
So tough market. I think it's just too cold down there that like their internet freezes up. Didn't. But
crickets. It's you just heard like the crickets there.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I hope everyone was laughing when they heard that one.
I don't think so.
But it was just I was so excited to see that on our statistics. So thank you guys so much for your endless support with Beyond the Beats, and we're only just going to keep making the show better and better. And we want to hear from you guys as well. So please connect with us on our social media pages
just
as well.
Show us some love, guys. You know, or and gals, some love or some hate, whatever it is. You know, as Akali said in his tweet about his new song, which we'll get into, thank you to all the haters and the lovers, right? So I like that mentality and I like where he's going with that. We're the same way.
Absolutely.
Just give us some feedback, whatever it is. We're big boys. We can handle whatever you have to say. But yeah. You know what? I tell you, let's just go over what we're going to be talking about today. And pardon my voice if it's a bit raspy. I have the flu. So yeah, oof. We'll try to get through
thank
this.
You dude, but dude, thank you for joining us, man. I definitely appreciate you
commitment, man.
That.
Commitment. It's all about the listeners, all about the listeners,
all you about
know.
It.
But what have we got lined up for today? Of course, we're going to go over some of the new music release that includes Yuki and Heckler with a song called Wraith. We've got Zedd and Katy Perry. Wow.
Yeah. Big. Interesting combination on
yeah.
that one. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely interesting. I tell you what, you know what we were talking about before, this whole pop house thing is starting to come. It's really everyone's seeing it. Everyone sees how good these producers are. Come on, guys, keep going. We're going for to sure. our news and culture section next with an update from the Grammy Awards. You know, everyone, congrats everybody on that list. You know, I definitely had a preference on who I wanted to win the best dance record, but you know, everybody on that fully deserved it. So I was really glad. It's one of the categories actually where I think that the people nominated really did deserve it. You know, in a way.
Absolutely.
So it was really good to see that.
It's an honor in itself to be nominated for a Grammy. So, you know, artists who were nominated for the Grammy, you know, the artists who won, just congratulations on your successes. And we are looking forward to hearing more music from you guys as well.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Then moving on swiftly from that, we'll go into Swedish House Mafia. Confirmed for
big
a couple
time, baby.
Different festivals. There we go. SHM. Here we go. EDC yes, Vegas, sir. Too. Some updates on the EDC Vegas front. Samir and I are particularly excited for that, considering that
hell
we
yeah.
will be going yet again. It's great. Then, speaking on the other end of the optimistic festival front, Ja Rule. He wants to do another festival.
Dude,
All right, man. But yeah. Let's see. We'll have to see. We'll go over what he thinks he can do. We've got a little bit going on the Rapture Music Festival suing Ultra. This is, you know, we'll save that for later. I mean, this is just a little bit crazy now. Chainsmokers, Samir's favorite band, and Five Seconds of Summer, which is his second favorite band. No matter what he says on this podcast, he loves them. He might butt that into the my anti-plo moment, but we've got a very good one. It's off the bat of our conversation with Birdie. It's a very nice segue into that section. Then we've got the classics. So what are we listening to? The Carly's new song, as I kind of previewed at the beginning. Mercer with some of that disco, the neo-disco, I believe he calls it. Dude. Loving it. Even though house kind of separated because of disco, it's okay. He kind of combines house and disco together very well.
For sure.
Exactly. Then our final, probably one of my favorite sections, artists we're watching. We've got a couple good guys. I don't know about you, Samir, but personally for this week, I'm really excited about introducing this guy. He's not as underground as some of the other people that mentioned, but I tell you what, I think he's on to be a big rising star for 2019. I think 2019 is going to be breakout year, kind of how 2018, end of 2017 was for Kid. I think this guy is going to really start blowing up this year. So big things. I know I'm putting the pressure on my prediction there, but I really think so. Well, without further ado, let's go into some of the new music. So, Samir, what do you think of the Yuki and Heckler collab, Wraith?
You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good song. I'm kind of maybe getting a little bit tired of, like, the bass music scene, but I thought it was a good song, you know? It's exactly what I kind of expected from Yuki, that kind of... that loud kind of screechy sound, but not so loud and screechy that it like hurts your ears. I think that's kind of his signature style. And, you know, I got that from this song called Wrath. Is it Wraith or Wrath?
Maybe it's, I think it's Wrath, actually. Probably not Wraith.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking back to...
I don't know, dude.
I'm thinking back to my Halo days.
Oh, dude.
Wow, that was a nerdy reference.
Classic.
I think it's Wrath. I don't know. Yuki, tell us, man. What's going on here? What's the name of the song?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Please help me. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
How do you
about.
Pronounce it, man?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Tweet us.
Feed us. Feed me. God. Here we go. Feed me and Sleepless. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought this one was actually more, you know, it's going back to his original kind of dubstep sound. And I like this one better than his previous release that we talked about last week on the show. So, Feed Me, I think you have a good track here, and I'm very excited to hear the rest of the album. So, dude, please release that shit soon.
Yeah, quick side note on that, because I agree with you here. This is definitely more in line with what he's done before. So do you think this album is going to be predominantly in line with his style? Was that one song that we mentioned, was it kind of like a one-off? What do you think?
I don't know, dude. I think it's going to be a nice mix of that, you know, like that more housey, chilled out vibe and this more kind of dubstep vibe. I think, you know, compared to 2011 and compared to 2012 when I was getting into Feed Me and listening to his tracks back then, I think that he's kind of calmed down his sound a little bit more. And I think this album is going to reflect that. Yeah. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Zed and Katy Perry, 365 or 365.
Dude. I don't. my God. I mean, I don't like it when I have to kind of rag on more mainstream hits like this, because then I hear, you know, from various people that you just hate. I just hate the mainstream. That is not true. Because
shout out,
I really liked when. Yeah, from our good friends. Yeah, because I really like that Zed did a track with like Selena Gomez, and you know, I actually really really like that song a lot. Because it had Selena Gomez's vocals, which were just nice and crisp and fit the song very well. And then Zed's production on top of that, I think the song was called I Want You to Know. I mean, god damn, that song goes so hard when it drops. And I was hoping for something more like that with this Katy Perry and Zed collab. But dude, this is, I'm going to sleep on this song, dude. I don't like it. It's not for me.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's one of those, you know, things you put on the radio, having on in the background.
It's a radio hit.
I mean, but you know what? To be fair, there are people who really are into that, and yeah, I'd be really interested. Actually, I'm probably gonna put a poll up to see what people think You know, if you were following our socials, I'd be really interested to see what they think. You know, again, I like the intent
for sure.
from Zed trying to bring in some more of these, you know, mainstream people, but we'll see. It's not my favorite either. You know, we have similar tastes, so I agree with you there. Then, correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong yet again, but Hey Wyatt with his song Contagious.
I like it. I like it. It's a solid track, man. I'm all about it.
Yeah, solid for me too. Yeah, I mean, nothing really more to say. Give it a listen. Nothing special for me, but it was good.
Right, and we're going to have links to all these songs in our show notes, so listeners, definitely be sure to check that out. We put them in the podcast episodes, so if your player supports that, you'll see it in there. But if you want an easy access to our show notes, definitely check out our Facebook page. Just search for Beyond the Beats and you'll find us.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Please keep looking on. Right, okay. So, Grammys. Best Dance Recording. Who won? Electricity.
Electricity by Silk City and Dua Lipa. You know, so Silk City, I believe, is Diplo and Mark Ronson. And, you know, it's a song that was created for the radio. It has big names in it, and you know, it won a Grammy. And so first of all, congratulations to both of you, Mark Ronson and Diplo. I think Mark Ronson actually has a lot of talent, so very excited for him. And Alec, I know you're gonna agree with me on this, man, but I really think Virtual Self should have had more of a chance on that one. I think it ranked higher than this song.
Hands down, agree with you there, man. Like, I I've always actually kind of been a fan of Diplo. I really like what he does, and he's very experimental. He doesn't really care about what people think, and he's done a very, very good job with these, you know, what would you call, like, Silk City and a Major Lazer and stuff, like, side projects, I guess. I don't really
side projects. Yeah, I guess not even side projects, because I think he devotes equal amount of time to, like, the, you know, the Diplo brand, the Major Lazer brand, the Silk City brand. So I think it's just part of his discography, part of his overall, you know, brand. I think he devotes equal time to all of them, and I think they've had their own successes. I just don't know if this song was really deserving of a Grammy over the other competitors in this category.
Agree 100%, man. Agree 100%. Virtual Self, we love you. /Virtual Self/
For sure,
Robinson,
dude.
I should say. I did say, interesting note though, he did say in an interview with GQ Japan that he's got another project on the way. We don't know if this means anything to do with Virtual Self per se or something else. Who knows? But this was pretty much right around the time of the Grammys. I don't remember exactly when, but it was around the time or after the Grammys. So we'll have to see about that.
Right. Exactly, man. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. And, you know, we also had Best Dance / Electronic Album went to Justice for their album Woman Worldwide. So congratulations to them. And like we talked about in the last episode, they're coming out with a space opera that is, you know, that has the tracks from that album that just won a Grammy. So Justice has had some fantastic successes over these past couple of years. There are critics that will say that Woman Worldwide is not their best work and their earlier releases were better than this current album that was just put out. But listeners, that's for you guys to make your own opinions on. I think Woman Worldwide was a solid album. I gave it a listen. And like I said, we will have a link to that in our show notes, so be sure to check that out.
Yeah, definitely, man. I agree with you on that too. But good job for them anyways, winning on that front. All right, so SHM confirmed for Ultra Europe and Ultra Korea. What's your take?
Dude, I think this is just awesome. First of all, Alec, I just love how they are teasing these shows, how they are branding these shows, because what they'll do is when they're about to release, like, an announcement for, like, a tour stop in these cities, they will they'll get billboards out, or they'll, you know, get, like, bus stands and put a billboard there or something, you know, use ad space that is physically outside, and they'll, you know, take, like, a common logo or, like, the city name, and they'll put it, like, three times in black and white on the logo, and that's it. So, for instance, like, I believe Ultra Europe takes place in Split, Croatia. So
oh,
I think,
yes,
like, on a
does.
Bus stand.
Oh, yes it does. Yes, it does. I was there right around the time of Ultra Europe. It was great.
Oh, that's right, dude. I completely forgot about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when they're about to announce a tour date in that particular city, they'll just, like, on an ad, they'll put split, split, split. and that's the name of the city, in black and white, and that's it. And then, like, people will take pictures of those billboards, and they'll be like, you know, is this a confirmation? Is Swedish House Mafia coming? And then they just, like, drum up a ton of hype. So I just love what they're doing with their branding. And this is a massive addition to Ultra Korea and Ultra Europe. I think you guys are going to have an absolute blast. So please let us know how it is.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just from my own professional perspective, I'd be interested to see what agency they're working with on the out-of-home advertising. And for that, or out-of-home
sure.
display, I believe it's called. That'd be really interesting because I think that's a really smart technique, you know. And I really do appreciate almost, it's a bit of a throwback technique, right, for marketing, you know, because it goes back to the old school days, you know, probably when they were really, you know, top of their game. I mean, that's how people announce these big shows and tours and concerts and things. So really neat that they're throwing it back to that, and it creates a great amount of hype. I mean, the name
Definitely.
Already brings hype, but this is just upping it for it, you know. I hope, you know, I really do hope they announce some club sets, though, or some after. You know, I'm sure they'll do some after parties for Ultra Europe. So for those of you, if anyone's been to Ultra Europe, please, you know, reach out. I'd love to see some of the experiences of it. But I don't know if you knew this, Samir, but for the after parties, right, you know how Miami, they do the, you know, the different, like the RC Cola plant and those places,
yeah.
right, for the after
yeah.
parties. So what they do for Ultra Europe is you actually have those after parties sometimes on neighboring little islands around the city of Split. So you can go to Hvar,
oh, that's
the name
awesome,
of one
dude.
Of them.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, man. And their whole like lead up, all the parties are on like either these on like yachts and boats or on these islands such as like Hvar is a big one. Hvar is a big you know, a lot of the Brits listening will know exactly about Hvar.
Right.
It's quite an awesome place. But yeah, it's going to be great. I don't know much about Ultra Korea, do you? I mean, I haven't heard or talked to anybody who's been to Ultra Korea.
You know, it just goes to show you that electronic music is continuing to expand, continuing to come back into these markets, you know, especially in Asia where I think electronic music has really taken off. And Alec and I have actually discussed talking about that report, the IMS report on, you know, the next coming episodes here, you know, starting with episode 5. So we're going to go into what markets are emerging. And I think Asian markets are definitely one of those. So, you know, just huge that Swedish House Mafia is coming to the different ultra music festivals all around the world. That's part of their portfolio. So I think this is big.
Definitely, man. I definitely agree. Right, moving on. EDC Las Vegas Shuttles announced.
Let's
we
go,
just got
baby.
We just got our we just got our shuttle passes, didn't we?
Yes, we did, dude. Yeah, we'll be on the Circus Festival Ground Standard Shuttle. I'm going to have a little bit of surprise for EDC Vegas, but I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet.
Oh.
But anyways, listeners, if you see us at EDC Vegas, please let us know. Come up to us. We want to hang out with you guys because I know for a fact we have listeners who are going to EDC Vegas. I know that. So please let us know if you're going, and if you see us, be sure to say hello.
Yeah, we're hopefully you can tell we're a good time. Be good to
for
connect
sure.
with some of the listeners. Get more of a personal connection to them. Again, hammering this
Definitely.
Point home. Just a couple guys talking about what they love, because we don't want it be a complete waste of our time.
For sure, dude. And
yeah.
just, you know, along with the shuttles being announced, you know, I think some of the EDC Week events are also being announced as well. So Porter Robinson is actually doing an EDC Week event, I believe, at the Omnia Club. I think he's going to be doing that on the Thursday, May 16th. And I know Above and Beyond is also doing an EDC Week event as well. So slowly, these events are starting to roll out, and we're going to keep everybody updated as we hear some more updates on that as well.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we did the Bass Rush pool party.
Yeah, that was sick. That was
yeah,
fun.
That was fun. And then the night swim with Chris.
Yeah,
Liebing.
We did the Factory 93. Yep, Factory 93 night swim with Chris Liebing, Nicole Mudaber, Panpot. Yeah, it was a great time.
Panpot
yeah,
killed
that was a lot
it.
Fun.
Panpot killed
for
it.
For sure,
man.
Dude. For
Shout
sure.
Shout out Panpot.
Completely agreed.
Good job
yeah.
banging those pots together. hey.
Boo.
All right, so we got to spend a little bit of time on this because, you know, this is just really, really funny to me. Ja Rule trying to convince everybody that he was, and I quote from his tweet, "I too was hustled, scammed, bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray."
Oh.
3 exclamation points. He's channeling his inner Trump. Wow. This is unbelievable. I'll tell you what, and the reason why he tweeted this is because he wants to stage another fire festival.
I cannot believe that this man is Ja Rule. This man is coming out and saying that he wants to do another Fyre Festival. Like, dude, the wounds are still open. Like, what are you doing right now? Do you really think this is the best time to be, putting on another iteration of Fyre Festival? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. On top of that, you know, I don't know if I could trust somebody who's, you know, was working so closely with this guy to put on the first iteration of the Fyre Festival. I don't know if I could trust him saying, I was bamboozled, I was also scammed. Like, dude, what the fuck? You were also a promoter for this festival. Like, the fact that you weren't in constant communication with your partner, it wasn't aware of the situation that was going on, I don't trust this guy to put on another festival, and I for sure am not going to give it any mind, and I encourage everybody else to not give it any money to go to this festival.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he really didn't. I think he was kind of an. Have you seen the documentaries, the Hulu and the Netflix one?
I've only seen the Netflix documentary, dude. I've never seen the Hulu documentary. So, I've watched the Hulu documentary, but again, I cannot believe the audacity of Ja Rule to say that they're going to put out, or he's going to work on another iteration of Fyre Festival. Like, dude, after all this bad press just came out, you're going to do another iteration, or you're going to try to? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I mean, so TMZ, not a big fan of TMZ, but they caught him in an airport, and he recently told them, saying, in the midst of chaos is opportunity, I'm working on a lot of new things. Fyre is most iconic at festival that never was. I've plans to create the iconic music festival, but you didn't hear it from me. Well,
Jesus
we just
Christ.
Did. But, you know, so he's working on his own new venture, and he's calling it Icon, which I assume is why he said it was the most iconic festival that never was. It's very similar to the Fyre app, right? So Icon, reportedly, it kind of connects. It aims to connect people with the high-profile talents. I think it's more for rap this time, for these private event bookings. You know, he's going to want to have it. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what he thinks that this is. I mean, Billy McFarland is serving a 6-year federal prison sentence.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. If you guys want to go to it, I guess.
Yeah, dude. If you end up going, you know, please send us videos and please let us know how it is, because we hope for the best, really. I cannot believe that he's trying again right now so soon. Dude, give it a couple of years. Like, hire a marketing team and rebrand, but don't do it so soon when these Netflix and Hulu documentaries just came out flaming you guys. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. And they recorded so much of actual
right.
footage behind the scenes. And that was part of the marketing plan. I mean, it really was. It was a genius marketing setup. And
absolutely.
It was genius. And it really showed the power of the social media influencer, you know. But I think it also warned people to that as well, right? You know, that you see these influencers and stuff. And as much as I think influencers can be a good thing and it can be a good marketing tactic, you really got to be careful because people can take advantage of it, you know. But this was just something that should never have allowed to be happen, and there were so many people involved, you know, that should have just known better. But Billy managed to, you know, I don't blame any of the people buying the tickets, you know. I mean, I remember seeing ads for it, right?
I remember seeing the sponsored posts.
Like, it got it became so viral. You know, it's just a crazy, crazy thing. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
Right, dude. Right on. But, you know, speaking of festivals, dude, Ultra, every time, you know, I think almost every single episode we've talked about Ultra now, and there's nothing going on necessarily with Ultra Music Festival in this segment of the show here, but Rapture Music Festival, who used to originally hold their festival in the Key Biscayne venue where the new Ultra Music Festival will be taking place this year. Well, you know, they kind of got kicked out. They got kicked out this year from using that venue because their dates land at the same time as Ultra Music Festival, who originally got kicked out of Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. And so the city allowed Ultra to move to Key Biscayne. And that kicked out Rapture Music Festival. Rapture Music Festival is a smaller kind of house and techno festival. They get some good lineups every now and then. It's more low-key, you know, more kind of closer vibes, I feel like, than an Ultra Music Festival. But this is the second time they filed for a motion, you know, a lawsuit against Ultra. And this is the second time that the Miami courts have thrown out their complaint and basically just said, you have no legal ground to be filing these complaints. Please stop wasting the court's time. And so we're going to have a link. Yeah, yeah, dude. I mean, they literally, dude, like they shut it down. And we're going to have a link to, you know, the official response from the city of Miami and the complaint that was filed. We'll put that link in the show notes. I mean, it's, I think it's done. I think Rapture Music Festival is done now. And I don't know how they're going to even come back from this. I think at one point they're claiming that Ultra had a monopoly on the music festivals in Miami when really that wasn't the case. You know, the city had even asked them, okay, when are you guys going to reschedule your music festival? Because obviously now you can't do it during these specific dates that you originally had at Key Biscayne. And Rapture did not get back to them. They're just filing these suits and they're getting kicked out. And I think the courts in Miami are kind of just done with their shit.
You know, I don't know probably as much as you do about this, but how do you feel about that? You know, I mean, I always feel for the smaller guy, and I want, you know,
right.
I want these smaller festivals to do well, and I do like a more intimate atmosphere, and I think, especially in the United States, having house and techno festivals is really good to broadening the awareness of electronic music and being like, hey, it's not just, you know, progressive or, you know, dubstep or, you know, slightly more mainstream things. I really like the fact that there are such festivals, but to go and just say that Ultra has a monopoly, like, I get they're upset and I get why.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, I don't know about you, Smee, I mean, you know much more about this than I do, but would you say they're probably a bit out of line in terms of how they were responding and acting to this situation?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. I think, look, Rapture, they're claiming that they had an official, and, you know, I'm going to emphasize official. Rapture was claiming that they had an official agreement to host their music festival in this Key Biscayne Historic Park, you know, for the next 3 years. I believe it took them through 2021. And there was a note from, I think, somebody at the Parks Department in Miami who said, you know, we are authorizing, you know, Rapture Music Festival to host their music festival here in Key Biscayne. However, it wasn't a signed contract. It wasn't like, you know, like this is a guaranteed contract. And if, you know, if either party falls through on the agreement, then there's going to be repercussions. No, it was a letter from somebody in the Parks Department in Miami saying, yeah, you know, Rapture Music Festival can use the space for their music festival. And unfortunately, that wasn't an official binding agreement, but Rapture was really trying to shove it down the court's throat, saying, like, look at this agreement. Look at this agreement we had. You guys are in violation. And the courts were saying, this is not an agreement. This is not a contract. This is just a letter saying, allowing you guys to use the space. And we're still going to let you guys host the festival if you want in Key Biscayne, but give us new dates. Like, let us know when you want to hold it. And Rapture Music Festival is not doing that. They're just kind of raising hell. And in the end, they got booted out, and Ultra is going to be hosting their event in that venue at the same time that Rapture was supposed to. So Rapture Music Festival is way out of line, and Ultra is going to go ahead with their event, and I hope it goes well, really, in their new venue and the new logistics that they have planned.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if anyone else has a different perspective to this, would love to hear it, get in contact
definitely.
With us. DM us, slide in our DMs, do what you have to do. Last
for
night,
sure.
What's going on there? But on to Samir's favorite topic of all, the chain smokers.
Oh, dude. Why you gotta be like that, man? Why you what? Always gotta be like that, dude?
You love them, don't you? I mean,
I like some of the releases that they put out, but when they do some wacky ass shit, I gotta take a step back and examine why. Why are they doing this? So, Alec, the Chainsmokers put out a song with 5 Seconds of Summer. It's a boy band, and now they're going on tour with 5 Seconds of Summer. And they got a ton of dates all around the... I think it's actually all around the world. But I don't get it. I don't understand, like, the Chainsmokers and 5 Seconds of Summer going on tour together. Like, I understand last year when the Chainsmokers released their album, it's called Memories Do Not Open. I get when they were going on tour for that. Like, that's their own show. It totally makes sense. But the Chainsmokers and 5 Seconds of Summer, really, like, two groups that I think are kind of separated quite a bit. They put out a collab together. Okay, great. Electronic music and pop coming together. Mainstream culture coming together. I love it. You know, that's something that Alec and I have talked about. Their song is not for me, but it's just cool to see it happening. However, this tour just feels weird. I don't know who it's geared towards. Like, is it geared towards people who enjoy EDM? Is it geared towards the, you know, the younger kids who are into boy bands like 5 Seconds of Summer? I just don't understand what the move is here.
No, me neither. I really don't. I don't get it either. I think there's some real divide over this. I was reading some articles online, and I really think that there's some divide over this, and that people are really split, particularly of the, you know, of the Australian boy band 5 Seconds of Summer. I think fans are quite, you know, I think they're just as confused, yeah, to be perfectly honest. So I'm going to try to find some people, maybe on social media, get some quotes from them to see. Obviously, this is early days, so we don't really know what the tour is going to look like. But I agree with you, man.
Right.
I just don't really understand what the... Yeah, I don't really get what they're going for.
Yeah, and I don't get the vibe either. Like, you know, I think from what I'm understanding, they have an opener for all their shows. You know, this person's going to be going around to all the stops. And then they have 5 Seconds of Summer going. And then they have the Chainsmokers playing. So, like, are 5 Seconds of Summer going to be doing, like, their hits? And then are the Chainsmokers going to throw down a heavy, you know, trappy, dubby, bassy DJ set? And is Drew going to be singing over some of those songs? Because the Chainsmokers went really hard at Ultra 2018. And, you know, and some of their sets do incorporate some music that goes pretty hard. And I just can't imagine that the crowd who would come to see 5 Seconds of Summer would also enjoy the music, the harder music of the Chainsmokers that they tend to throw in their sets. Is Drew going to be singing on a lot of the tracks? And are they just going to be playing a lot of music from their debut album, Memories Do Not Open? I don't know. I feel like I'm just asking a ton of questions, and there's not a lot of answers that are out right now, and there's not going to be until the first stop happens in this tour. So
maybe they're doing, you know, we'll keep a live show. I don't know.
I don't know, dude, but yeah, we'll have to keep everybody updated. We'll see how that goes.
Definitely will. And, like, come on, sure. We said it before, Chainsmokers, you guys are talented. Just, I don't know, just try being a little bit more consistent with things, I guess. I don't know.
Totally agree, man. But, you know, we're kind of already getting a little negative, and we're kind of ragging on the Chainsmokers right now, and we're gonna get a little bit more negative with Alex Hot Take, the anti-plur moment, dude. What up?
Song requests. God.
Yeah.
Damn it. God, it just gets me riled up to think about it. We were just talking about birdies, talking about playing at bars, trying to have a good time. Then there's some cheerleaders coming up who, just because they're cheerleaders at a college bar, they expect at a bar that they can just...
And we're talking about Birdie's experience when DJing, yes, at a specific bar. So definitely take a listen to that episode.
Yes, please do. Please do. Thank you for plugging our other episodes, mate. Good idea.
For sure, dude. For sure.
Got a plug. But like, what's going on? Like, you know, and we've had experience with this. I'm sure you go off with your little rant about this too. But you just got people coming in and they'll just request a song for you to play, like you're some bloody Spotify playlist, right? Where they've never really heard DJs before, and they just switch the song whenever they want, and they press another one, they'll go from like pop to like, I don't know, some really mumble rap with all the lils out there or something like that.
all the lils.
Like, yeah. No offense to some of them. I like Lil Wayne, by the way. Yeah. Shout out Lil Wayne. But, you know, but seriously, like, what is going on? Where they just come in and they just think that, you know, that this one person that they could just tell you, the DJ, what to play when, right? It doesn't matter to them, like, whether it fits, whether it doesn't. They don't give a shit.
Right.
They just want to hear what they want to hear, not what the vibe of the crowd is,
right,
not what
on,
everyone else. I don't see them going around with a polling board being, would you like to hear this song? Would you like to hear this song? No. They just come up, bump on that DJ booth, go, play Closer, or something like that. It's like, I like that song, Closer. Yes, I do. Secret little thing of mine. I do like it. But...
Dude,
it's
now
not
it's out
gonna,
in the open, baby.
It's out in the open, and I won't. But it doesn't fit in every single thing, right? If the whole point of a DJ is that you have somebody there who is going to create an experience, who's going to take you on a musical journey of sorts, who is going to blend music together. That's why it's known as mixing, right? Or DJing. It's not called, let's shuffle on Spotify, right? Shuffle on SoundCloud. And it just aggravates me. It aggravates me more, like, if they give a good suggestion, then great, right? You know, and if they're nice about it, then yeah, of course, I know the majority of DJs, Birdie included and yourself included, Samir, will probably play it at some point, right? And it's a good suggestion. It's a good suggestion. But to just demand it, like, you know, it's like, it reminds me of the girl from, you know, Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, right?
I knew it. I knew you were going to say,
you know,
that. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I want it now. And it's, you know, I say, like I've said, it's not just, and it's not, it's really actually, you know, I shouldn't say this because I'm not sexist whatsoever. Actually, in my experience at least, it's not just girls. It's also a lot of dudes who come
yes,
up too.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
And in a way, everybody. And in a way, the dudes could be a bit worse. Yeah. And the way the dudes could get a bit worse could be like, oh, well, all the girls are going to leave, they're not going to like it. And I'm like, shut up. You're requesting some song that girls don't even like dancing to. You just want to go jump around with. Anyway,
exactly.
With your boys. Like, you know, it's just like, have some respect. Like, ask nicely. It'll be done. And just don't expect it to be, like, immediately gratified. Because, again, a DJ, respect the DJ. The DJ is not a Spotify playlist. You know, and I think people are starting now to get it, right? Because DJs are becoming the show in themselves. They're doing these festival headsets. So I think the problem is getting a bit better. But it's just a lack of understanding of what a DJ does, I think, is a huge, huge thing. Because the amount of people that, you know, have heard my podcast and they like it, you know, but they're like, you know, honestly, they're like, Alec, can you tell me what do these people actually do up there? They just twist in knobs and stuff. And, you know, they don't really get it. So I think, you know, in fairness to them, right, let's take it back, give them a little love. I think it's a lack of understanding of what a DJ does, how hard it is to DJ well, and just, you know, basic, you know, music theory knowledge, right? And understanding that you can't just throw two random tracks together and expect it to sound good. You know, because then they'll get pissed off if it doesn't sound good either. That or they don't care, which is, I don't know which one's worse to me. But, you know, anyway, rant over.
Dude, I mean, I completely agree with you on that, man. Like, and Alec, you and I have both DJed quite a bit, especially when we were at university. So just we have dealt with our fair share of folks who will come up to the booth, any gender, you know, from any background, whatever, and they'll be aggressive about wanting to hear their specific song. You know, a DJ is a maestro, and they are the conductor of the night, and they know what to play at the correct time. You know, if you're going to suggest a track and it's a good track, but it would fit better when the party's at the peak, then you just got to respect that and you just got to wait for it. And Alec, you really hit the nail on the head here with this hot take here on the anti-plur moment. I love it.
Yes, and it's even though it's anti-plur, I love everybody. I love guys. It's just a little bit of a rant, but I really do love everybody.
So next time, listeners, you're thinking about going up to request a song to the DJ when you're at a bar, at a club, really think about it. You know, don't get mad if the DJ doesn't play it immediately. It's not a disrespect to you. The DJ just has a better handle on how to keep the dance floor packed, how to keep the dance floor moving. So really, just don't take it as a slight. Everyone's got to do their job. And these guys probably have a little bit more professional experience playing in front of crowds than you do.
Right. And it's not even that. Like, a lot of the times, you know, I am going to get to it and I'll try because, you know, I will try to get to it. It's just people want it immediately. And that's really my problem with it. It's just like, you know, be nice to me. Talk to the DJs as if, you know, they're actual human beings. It's not just a robot that is there for your, you know, immediate gratification.
Definitely.
Like the people trying to do a job, trying to do it well, as you said, they have experience. But even if that, like, just you know, be nice. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just they treat you differently when you're doing that. And it's like, oh, I want this now. And don't get me started if they're inebriated or anything like that, because that makes it ten times worse. But it's just like, you know, it's like I love people's requests. I love engaging with people, and I love seeing if I can creatively mix something in or involve people. I want everybody to have a good time, including the people coming up and asking. So I don't, you know, this is kind of the plur moment going back in. Like, I love all suggestions. I love people coming up and suggesting and talking to me
definitely
like I'm an actual, you know, person, and, you know, they're trying to have a good time for everybody, not just themselves.
Right on, dude. Completely agree with that sentiment. That was. Are you sweating over there, dude? Because
I'm sweating. That was hot. Sorry if I offended everybody, but there you go.
I'm 2,800 miles away from you, dude, and I'm feeling the heat over here. Like, damn, that was good. But anyways, listeners, we're gonna move on, and Alec, we're gonna get to our favorite sections here, the what are we listening to section right now. So we just got a release from two personal favorite artists of ours here, Ikali and 1788L. I love that name. I love saying it. Like, I don't know why, but 1788L just, it kind of flows for some reason. You know what I mean? And they have a new song called Ruin. And I'll be honest, not doing it for me. Alec, what do you think?
I liked it, man. Like, I didn't think it's, I don't think it's his best. You know, I did like what they were trying to do. I think, again, going off of kind of the anti-player moment of last week, I don't think this is a bad case of a DJ trying to, you know, expand a bit. We all know Akali can go pretty hard. And I think this was an interesting, you know, collaboration decision. And you could tell that they kind of wanted to make it clear whose part was kind of what, unless I'm, you know, sorry, Akali and 1788L if I'm wrong about this. But, you know, the first drop seemed to be more along the lines of what 1788L would do. With
definitely
that,
agreed.
You know, right? And then the second drop definitely was much more that future trap Akali vibe. And I liked Akali.
Sure.
I liked the second drop better. I think it was good. I don't really have any too harsh criticisms of it, to be honest. Like, it's good. It's just not anything great for me. I think I could see what they're trying to do. I applaud the attempt and trying to be creative, yeah, and pushing the boundaries on it. But it just wasn't anything for me where I'll be like, whoa, right?
Yeah, dude, completely agree with you. And and of course, you always got to respect these artists for, you know, pushing the envelope, trying new things, collaborating with artists who have really quite a different sound from what they normally produce. Like 1788L and Akali, they really do have their own unique sounds. And in this track, Ruin, they tried to combine those two sounds together. And yes, the first drop definitely has a very, very heavy 1788L influence. And the second drop definitely has that Akali future trap influence, like you just said. I don't know why, but I think that if these songs were just standing alone, you know, like these different parts of the songs were standing alone, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. It's just individual releases from these artists. But the fact that they, and we talked about this on our last episode, where artists will, you know, have a song and they'll collab with another artist, and then all of a sudden, like, they'll just it feels like they're taking two different sounds and just trying to meld them and mesh them together, and it doesn't work. I feel like Akali and 1788L definitely put in a lot of effort, and you could tell that they tried to really make these sounds go together. But I think for me, it fell short, and I did not really enjoy this release. And I was very, very hyped up. I was very hyped up to get this release from them, but it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, no, I understand that, man. You know, and I think maybe it would have been a bit better if they tried to create one blended sound,
right?
Rather
yeah.
than two drops that clearly are from one or the other, right?
You know, I would have loved if it was like Ruin Part 1 and Ruin Part 2 or something like that, just to make them more separated, you know, but it just, I don't know, dude, it did not do it for me.
Maybe it'll grow, you know, I'm also not being harsh on it because it may grow on me. I don't know. It's going to be a hard one to rate, but do you have a rating for it?
Yeah, so let me just quickly go over our rating scale one more time here. So listeners, here on Beyond the Beats, we have our own rating scale that we like to give music in this section. And so the it's a scale of 1 to 5, and the first level is called One Listen. And so this is where Alec and I emphasize the fact that we encourage all of you to just give the track a listen and see if you like it. But for us, this will probably be the only time that we listen to this track, and we'll probably never pick it up again. So that's level 1, One Listen. Level 2 is called Background Noise. So if the song comes on in the background, it's a track that you don't mind having on, and you know, if you're doing other things, you're not going to actively try to skip it. It's just, it's on in the background, so not a big deal. Level 3 is called Turn It Up. So it's when a song comes on, you're going to grab that volume knob, you're going to turn it up. Pretty self-explanatory there on that one. Level 4 is called Just Bought Tickets. Just Bought Tickets is when you listen to a release or you listen to a piece of music from an artist and it's compelling you to want to go check out their tour dates and see when they're coming to your city next. So that's level 4, Just Bought Tickets. And level 5, Speechless. Speechless is when you listen to a piece of music and you really just kind of connect with it on a different level, and you feel like it's just you and the music. So that's our levels 1 through 5. Level 1 being One Listen. Level 2 being Background Noise. Level 3 is Turn It Up. Level 4, Just Bought Tickets. And level 5, Speechless. So, Alec, since you asked me here, I'm going to give this a background noise, you know. And I was kind of teetering on a one listen, but again, I like the second drop from Akali. So I'm going to give this a background noise. And if it comes on, great, I'll keep it on. And, if you know, I'm not going to actively try to skip it. But it's definitely not going to be a track for me where it comes on and I try to turn it up.
Yep, no, I agree. I'll give it the same rating. 2 out of 5 background noise. I agree with you 100% there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was Akali and 1788L's release Ruin, and we will have a link to that in our show notes. Definitely encourage you guys to give that a listen and make your own opinions on that one. But Alec, we have a another track here that we want to review. Mercer.
Yes, indeed. Mercer, Your Love. You know, I really enjoy the fact that he's going, he's blending this disco and house again, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this whole thing. I'm not sure. It was an EP or an album, Neo Disco, he released relatively recently.
Yeah.
The last few months ago or whatever it was now. God, time flies by.
It does.
But, you know, I do enjoy the way he's going with this. I did not expect at all that he'd be going this route. You know, I think it's...
Especially because you saw him, right, at the Part of My French tour. So, like, when you saw him at Part of My French, do you recall, like, what kind of music he drew down?
Yeah. Oh, no. It was nothing like this. Nothing like this.
Yeah.
It was a lot more... I still can't describe it. It was like a lot like... He played Loopers. I don't know if you've heard of them before.
I really liked them. Yeah,
yeah, so he played, like, songs by Loopers. To be honest, that I absolutely loved that set. So, shout out to Mercer. Like, that set to me was un-freaking real. It's definitely one of my favorite sets that I've heard, believe it or not. I just think he did a very, very good job with it. And I believe that was before, I think he was, maybe he was Mala for a bit. Maybe this was, you know, so might be trying to do something different. I'm not sure, but, you know, I dig it. So this song, it was 2 weeks ago, I believe it was released, Your Love. I really like, you know, I'm giving it a Just Bought Tickets. I'd really like to see.
Nice.
You know, yeah, I'd really like to see him play this type of set, you know. I know he played on Holy Ship. I'm sure he probably played, you know, a set like this. So if anyone went to Holy Ship and knows, you know, has any videos or whatever, please send them our way and let us know what you thought. Because I tell you what, I'd be pretty excited to see a set like this.
For sure. Yeah, I'm also going to give this a Just Bought Tickets as well. Because, you know, when I first heard the Neo Disco EP, I really liked the track Monte Carlo. I thought it was good. But if I was reviewing that EP, I'd probably give it like a background noise or maybe a turn it up. But I think this release, the song is called Your Love by Mercer. I think this one was actually better than what I've heard on that EP.
Interesting.
Very, very pleasantly. Very pleasantly surprised, Alec, when you sent me the link to this track. And this is a fantastic release by Mercer. And I totally agree. I would love to hear a set from him. Just like this, with music just like this. So, shout out to Mercer, man. We can't wait to hear more from you.
Indeed.
Right on. All right, Alec. Let me ask you, man. New week, who are you watching? Tell me about the artist that you're watching.
So, the guy that I'm introducing all the listeners to this week, and some of them may know of him, I'm not entirely sure, because he's not exactly underground, per se, but he, you know, in the last year or... a year and a half, he's been on the rise, but his name is Inzo, I-N-Z-O.
Right.
And what I really like about this guy is that he's doing future bass right. And I know on a previous episode, Samir, you had said that, you know, the future bass, you kind of get a little bit tired of it. But to be honest, I think this guy is doing it really, really well. I mean, I was taken aback when I heard this one song, which is his biggest by far, and it's amazing to see. Since I first heard it probably three, four weeks ago, you know, just to see how much it's climbed. I wish I took note of the actual metrics to share with you guys. But the biggest song of his is called Overthink It. And it has this, you know, we'll play of a clip of it right here, you know, because this is, you just have to listen to it.
Yeah.
With the real world.
Dude.
So, it's like, it's, you know, it's got this just energy to it, this pure energy. And my favorite part is I love the vocal portion of it, which is just, you know, I love it when DJs take things that are clearly from like a spoken word thing, or I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, I guess spoken word is one thing, or like a quote from like a movie or something. Not sure where he got this from, but it's awesome. And I think it's just such a great vibe. And he, his one of his newest songs, Spectrum, I think I showed this one to you as well, Samir, I believe last week, where it was like kind of chill at first and you're not really expecting it. But then the second drop goes a little bit harder and it just comes out of nowhere with it, you know, but it works. It works really freaking well. Absolutely loving this guy. You know, I was looking him up, saw in November he was actually mentioned in Billboard's One to Watch November 2018. He was actually mentioned there. So definitely give this guy a look. He's got 13.4k followers on SoundCloud. His Instagram is at InZoneMusic. And he only has about 4,753 followers. I say about, that's exactly the number he has on Instagram. But, you know,
I love how precise you are. Yeah.
I know. I was
precision,
like,
dude. We're all about precision here on Beyond the Beats.
I'm going to be pissed if, you know, by the time of this recording. No, actually, I'll be happy if he has more. Please do.
Yeah, for sure.
Please go far, right, when this was released. But I'm just loving his vibe, man. I love that. We need more of that. I think Future Bass was doing really well. Then it kind of teetered off a bit. But this guy's really putting it back on the map. And he's a young guy. Great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the set. So for the song Overthinker, I'm giving it a level 4 out of 5 with this one. A just bought tickets. I was kind of considering speechless for a little bit.
I love it, man.
It's just, you know what it is for me, that you could feel the emotion in it, and it's so cleverly done,
right,
with the spoken word component, and it's just, oh god, it just makes you just want to feel like it's just a lot of emotion.
Nice, man.
It.
Yeah.
And it does it all. Oh god,
yeah.
I love the song, because it just turned on and it was a car. It was one of those things too. I just stumbled across when I was on my way to work. But you know, nice. I really want to see him live, because I haven't heard any of his live sets or anything like that. So shout out to this guy. I'm telling you, this year he's gonna blow up. Blowing up 2019. You heard it here first on Beyond the Beats.
Very nice, dude. Yeah, thank you so much for introducing us to him, to Inzo. And Alec, I just love how passionate you sounded about, you know, hearing this guy's music. You know, that's what I love about this scene, and I just love about doing this podcast, is that, I mean, there's so much great music out there. There's so many new sounds, and there's so many people who are doing it right, and we just love talking about them here on Beyond the Beats. So, dude, thank you for introducing me to Inzo. I want to quickly talk about Rad Hatter. I love that name, Rad Hatter. It's this guy who is from Denver. You know, he has about 2,200 followers on SoundCloud, about 300 followers on Instagram. But this guy is so freaking talented. He's done remixes of Halsey's Without Me. He's done a remix of Khalid and Normani's Love Lies. And he's done his own originals. But one of my favorite songs that I've heard from him, and it's not going to be on his SoundCloud, it definitely does not have that much traction or that many plays on it. It's called If You Wanna. It's got a Nicki Minaj vocal sample in there. And it's just the way that the vocals just come in and come out, and the way that the drums are layered with it, it just sounds fantastic. And we're going to play a little snippet of it for you guys right here.
Dude, nice. Yeah. You know, I remember
Hot
you
track.
Showing. Yeah, I
yeah.
remember you showing yeah. This to me way back when we were originally recording this podcast, back when I was in New York. And this is great, man. I'm so happy that you introduced me to this guy. I love his name too.
Yeah. Yeah, Rad Hatter is such a great name. And so just really, really glad that I found him on SoundCloud. He's very, very talented. And like I said, his remixes are actually getting a lot of traction. Like, for instance, his Khalid and Normani remix, Love Lies. It has almost 25,000 plays on SoundCloud. And, you know, just his Halsey Without Me remix is also getting a lot of traction as well. So the guy is freaking talented, and he does his own original releases as well. And listeners, I definitely encourage you guys to give him a look. His Instagram is Rad Hatter, just at Rad Hatter. And again, we're going to have a link in our show notes as well to his social media. So, Rad Hatter, thank you for putting out some dope music. And I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk about you on our podcast.
Yeah, man, definitely.
I think that concludes it, man. Episode 4 is in the books. It's been released, and I'm just happy that we got another episode underneath our belts. And more importantly, dude, I'm glad that we got a chance to do our first artist spotlight with Birdie.
Yeah, loving it, man. And, you know, that's going to be a really important piece of this podcast coming up. You know, we really want to get to know some of the players, the underground players, you know, not just the artists, but eventually we'll be delving into the people behind it, more of the business side of things. You know, there's a lot of people who I don't think when people truly appreciate, even just at clubs, right, let alone festivals, the amount of work that goes in to these things.
Absolutely. So
definitely want to give those people a shout out. And there's just so many people that, you know, have very high quality music that deserve more attention, you know. And it's hard. It's really hard in this age of where, you know, there's a lot of bedroom producers out there. Social media is filled with a bunch of things, all these platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, right? It's saturated with a lot of things. So they're just, you know, definitely happy to help out anybody that has quality stuff. You have quality stuff, you know, we'll hear it out. So if you're a bedroom producer, underground artist, whatever it may be, and you are interested in coming on at some point, you know, send us your stuff. We'll take a look at it, you know, and we'll be perfectly honest with you too on that front.
For sure. Yeah. Thank you guys. And just again, thank you guys so much for supporting our podcast. I was very, very excited to see that we now have listeners in every continent except for Antarctica. And it's just so great to see our podcast growing and to see that you guys are enjoying it as well. We've said this before, but it's also extremely important, and we just want to reiterate it. Please leave a rating and a review for us in the Apple Podcasts app or in the, wherever you get your podcasts from. Those go an extremely, extremely long way, and it really helps out our show, and we always appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for supporting Beyond the Beats, and we can't wait to talk to you guys next week for episode 5.